God's peace is always yours in Jesus. For our Rally Day message today, I've chosen two texts. The first is from Genesis, and it reads, "And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And God said, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowing of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." And the second text is from John 3:16. "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Dear friends in Christ, today's message is going to be in the form of a parable, and I've entitled it God's Airplane. So I want all of you to put up your tray tables, put your pews in the full upright position, and get ready for takeoff. Now, let's begin with creation. Imagine if, after God created Adam and Eve, instead of putting them in the Garden of Eden, imagine if he had put them on an airplane. In other words, I want you to think of life in the Garden of Eden in airplane terms. So, I brought this prop along with me to use of an airplane. Imagine that this airplane represents the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve on board. And our loving God is living with Adam and Eve on this airplane. And the airplane is on a nonstop flight to the kingdom of heaven, where it will land safely, and everyone who is on board the plane will live happily ever after. Now, seated in the pilot's seat is God the Father, and seated in the co-pilot's seat is God the Son. And the Holy Spirit is the comforter or steward, making sure you enjoy your flight. All right, now that you have that image of Adam and Eve soaring with God on God's airplane on their way home to heaven, I want to ask you a question. Remember that this is a parable intended to teach you God's word. So the question I'd like to ask you is this. What are the two worst things that you can do when you're on an airplane? Now, don't answer that yet, but ponder that question. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them in his own image. That is, in the perfect image of Jesus Christ. Thus, Adam and Eve were sinless, righteous, and very good. The image of God means that they also knew the will of God and wanted to do it. There was nothing wrong with Adam and Eve, and they were created to live with God the Father, the pilot, with Jesus Christ, the co-pilot, and with the Holy Spirit, the steward or comforter on the flight, forever, first of all on God's airplane, and finally when they landed safely at the destination of heaven. Now, on God's airplane, God gave Adam and Eve many gifts to enjoy: fruits and nuts, in-flight joys and pleasures, freedom to explore his beautiful plane, life and love. But he also gave them one safety rule for their own protection, so that they would remain safely on the plane and land safely in heaven. The one rule that the pilot, the co-pilot, and the comforter gave to Adam and Eve was this in Genesis 2, "You are free to eat of any tree on the airplane." God even had an indoor garden on his airplane. "But you must not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowing of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." Now, let's translate God's command into airplane terms. It was as if God was saying to them, "We're going to be cruising comfortably on our way to heaven. It should be a perfect flight. Just relax, enjoy your flight, and leave the flying to us. You're free to take off your seatbelt, walk around the plane, go wherever you want. The whole plane is yours to enjoy. You can even come into the cockpit to visit your pilot and co-pilot at any time. There's just one rule you must follow for your own safety. Namely, leave the flying to us. Why? Because only our pilot, God the Father, and our co-pilot, Jesus Christ, know how to land the plane safely in heaven. You don't, nor do I. So Adam and Eve were told, for your own safety, leave the flying to us. By not eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because it's our job as pilot and co-pilot, God and Son of God, to manage good and evil in order to protect your life from evil. We're the only ones who know how to handle evil and how to bring the airplane and your lives in for a safe landing. Now, many people ask the question, well, why did God create this tree and then tell Adam and Eve not to eat from it? Or to put it another way, why did God invite us into the cockpit and then tell us we couldn't fly? Perhaps it was a protective command. In other words, God knew that the devil was lurking in that tree, trying to hijack God's airplane, trying to hijack God's garden by getting Adam and Eve to sin so that they could bring God's airplane or God's garden down to a fiery crash. But I believe that Luther hit the nail on the head when he said, God gave Adam and Eve the tree of the fruit of the knowing of good and evil and then said, you are not to eat from it. Or he said, you may come into the cockpit and visit with us, but you can't sit in the pilot's seat or the co-pilot and fly the plane. Either way, this was how Adam and Eve could worship God. This was their altar of worship. In other words, by not eating of the fruit of the tree, or by not trying to take over the pilot's seat, they would be honoring and worshiping God. They would be saying, you're God, and we're not. You're the pilot and co-pilot, and we're not. You're in control, and you love us, and you're simply trying to protect us and give us life in heaven. So we're going to honor you, obey you, and leave the flying to you. That's the response God desired. Which brings me back to my original question. What are the two worst things you can do when you're on an airplane? Number one, you can jump out of the airplane without a parachute. Or number two, hijack the plane and take over the pilot's seat when you don't know how to fly. Both options are deadly choices. When Adam and Eve sinned, and when you and I sin, that is as foolish and as deadly as jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. It's as crazy as hijacking a plane that you don't know how to fly. Even though we all sin, and we all sin daily, sin is actually living in an insane, out-of-your-mind attitude. Because when we sin, we are actually doing what we know will kill us eternally. No wonder God calls it foolish. Think of it like this. Sinning against God is like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute at 30,000 feet. Now, you may enjoy and think that the first 29,999 feet are so much fun, and you are so free, and there are no consequences. But the last foot is a big problem. Sin leads to death, as surely as flying through the sky without a parachute. To coin a phrase, one small sin for man, one deadly fall for mankind. Romans 5 declares, sin entered the world, entered the plane, through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death has come upon all mankind, all the passengers on the plane, because all have sinned. So how did Adam and Eve's jumping out of God's airplane without a parachute by their sin affect you and me? Here's how. Ever since Adam and Eve jumped out of God's airplane by their sinning, every one of us is now born outside of God's airplane. And we're born in a falling condition, headed to a certain and deadly crash, unless someone rescues us before we crash in hell. Psalm 51, in sin was I born, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Ephesians 2, we are by nature objects of wrath. We are born in a falling condition, headed to death. And yet, even though we're plunging to our death apart from Christ, our sin is so blinding that it will lead you to love what will kill you. The joy of sinning is oftentimes so exhilarating as flying through the air for 29,990 feet, but the last foot is a huge problem, and it's called Judgment Day. In fact, when you're flying through the air with the greatest of ease, at several hundred miles an hour, how long it will be before you crash can be very deceptive. Only the Lord knows how close that day is when each of our lives will crash in death. Hebrews 11 says, the pleasures of sin last but a moment, but the consequences are eternal. Your sin and mine will always lead to death, and it will always lead to eternal death unless we're rescued and brought back into the safety of God's airplane. And the other deadly choice you can make when you're on an airplane is to hijack the pilot's seat when you don't know how to fly. Luther said, whenever you and I sin, no matter what commandment we may be breaking, we are always breaking the first commandment, because we are living as though we were God when we're not. One of the biggest lies the devil ever tempted us with goes all the way back to his first temptation of Adam and Eve, which was, you can be like God yourself. When we sin, we are hijacking the pilot's seat when we don't know how to fly our lives safely home to heaven. We are pretending to be God when we're not. And whether you and I admit it or not, we don't know how to land our lives safely in heaven apart from Jesus Christ. The darkness and fog of sin is too great. We will crash. Our sin is thinking we can go into the cockpit that belongs to God, remove the pilot, take over the controls of our life, and believing that we can land safely in heaven by ourselves. We believe we don't need to cope the co-pilot, Jesus, either. And if he gets in the way of our sinning, well, we'll just have to kill him too. And we'll kill him on a cross or in our hearts. But only God the Father and Jesus know how to fly this baby of God's airplane, of your life, home to heaven and land safely. So as we begin another year of Sunday school and Bible class, we are not here to learn how to fly our lives on our own, or how to land our lives safely in heaven on our own. We are here to learn how to arrive safely in heaven and how to help others arrive safely in heaven, which is only through the saving work of our co-pilot, Jesus Christ, and learning to live our lives while leaving the flying to Jesus. So what is our pilot, God the Father, our co-pilot, Jesus Christ, and the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, want us to learn through worship and God's Word? In fact, they know that we will repeatedly try to jump off of the plane without a parachute. And they know that we will repeatedly try to hijack God's pilot seat. But here's the solution. When you and I jumped out of God's airplane, just like Adam and Eve, by our sinning and playing God, our pilot didn't give up on us. God loved us and loves those who have jumped away from him in sin, who have hijacked their lives by sinning, by sending the co-pilot, his only son Jesus, on a daring, One might even add deadly rescue mission to save us from our falling and crashing condition. Jesus voluntarily left the co-pilot's seat, and he put on the crash gear of flesh and blood, and he jumped out of God's airplane crying, "I'll take the crash for you." And Philippians 2 says, "Who being in very nature God, did not consider his being equal with God something to be grasped and held on to, but he made himself nothing, leaving the co-pilot's seat, and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross." But to all of us who acknowledge the utter foolishness of jumping away from God to enjoy the thrill of sin for 29,999 feet with a messy ending, and to all who confess our sin of having constantly hijacked the pilot's seat so we could fly our lives the way we wanted, only to reach the inevitable conclusion that if I keep flying my life on my terms, I'm going to crash and burn. Then for all of us, God in Jesus has given us a way back onto the plane. You see, after our co-pilot jumped out of the plane, he crashed in our place on Calvary's cross, so that the pilot would no longer be mad at us and our sins. And then the pilot, God the Father, glorified his son, the co-pilot, by raising him from the dead and seating him back at his right hand in the co-pilot's seat, having paid for every sin that would destroy our lives and keep us out of heaven, so that with all of our sins paid for, our pilot now turns the plane around and is circling back to rescue sinners who are plummeting in a free fall to their death. And now that Jesus has purchased our rescue and is himself our Savior, he jumps out of the plane for one sinner at a time, sort of like Iron Man in the movie Iron Man 3, and he catches us one sinner at a time and gives us the parachute of our baptism. And 1 Peter 3 says, baptism now saves you. And he also puts us safely back on to the airplane through his saving words. Whoever believes in me has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Sinners come to worship and Bible class to get back on God's airplane. Ephesians 2, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. That is, we're back on God's airplane. Because of Jesus, our pilot now reassures us. This is your pilot speaking. We're glad to have you on board our airplane called Grace. Your co-pilot has handled all the turbulence of sin, death, hell, and the devil, so that you are safe. Until we land in heaven, feel free to take off your seatbelts, for Christ has set you free. And until we land, during your flight, enjoy the refreshing water of your baptism, the bread which is Christ's body, and the wine that is his blood. Feel free to come up and visit us in the cockpit. We love seeing you and talking with you, and we'll be arriving at our destination soon. Have fun, and leave the flying to us. Amen.